It's actually Debbie Allen sitting in for Scott Williams tonight, and Dermot Jewell, Consumer Association of Ireland, the CEO himself, is joining us. Evening, Dermot.
Hiya, Debbie. Evening to you.
Now, what I want to talk to you about, actually, hang on 2 seconds. That's better. But to fix my buttons here, Ulster Bank. Ulster Bank, what is the story? Not getting any better. In fact, getting worse.
Getting worse. They're not even able to say how long it's going to take to resolve the problem. And I mean, as most people at this stage will have understood, if you're with Ulster Bank, your life basically is in chaos, because whatever payments you were due to get through your bank account, you've not necessarily been able to get them. I spoke to somebody today who, to try to resolve her problem, is about to take out a credit union loan whilst waiting for the bank to sort out their problem with getting her salary in and getting her payments made. And that's one of the key problems, the big, big worries. As you know, I mean, we're in a recession. Mm-hmm. All of the agencies, all of the companies, it doesn't matter if it's the gas, the electricity, whatever, they're all on edge watching if somebody is defaulting on a payment.
Of course, yeah.
And this is causing chaos. And there's a big bit of degree of worry, quite rightly, that you could get a bad credit rating through this. Now, I know a lot of undertakings have been given that, look, it'll be sorted, it'll be fine. But can I be honest with you, from the role that I've had for the last 18 years, nothing is ever that simple. There are always problems associated with it, and some poor unfortunates are going to fall outside of it, and it won't be resolved within a day or two.
But what
it'll be a week
then?
Or a month.
What kind of recourse do you have then?
Well, this is where the point has been very well made to Ulster Bank, that look, you're going to have to look and consider an element of compensation, not just making things right for people and putting their system, or their house back in order, but actually looking at the time, the efforts. Now, I mean, I heard somebody say to me, the stress, etc. Very hard to define how to compensate stress, but it's why we ourselves today said, okay, look, Ulster Bank, one of the last ones, they are the last bank, actually, who do not charge for fees.
Oh, they don't have any banking charges, do they?
No. So, but they've made the point before this debacle, they made the statement that they're going to enter into that field and they're going to start charging. So the point that we've been making today is, well, okay, here is the only opportunity Ulster Bank is going to get to show some goodwill.
Mm-hmm. Don't do
and
it.
Cancel it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's the only way they're going
to
get it.
I was listening to reports, you know, like why it's taken so long for it. But apparently they're the very last link in the chain of command. But the Royal Bank of Scotland apparently had other areas to deal with first. And there was a sort of a feeling that, like, you know, we're sort of like, you know, the red-headed stepchild. You know what I mean?
Like,
you
know,
it's not.
No, it's not. Because, see, this is the key point. And it's the worrying point. This is our livelihood. We've been brought into a system over, you know, encouraged over years, pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you do is in your bank. You don't deal in cash.
No.
You have a card, you use an ATM, blah, blah, blah. And what happens when it goes down? And every time anybody suggested that, Debbie was thought, that can't happen.
Could never happen.
So here we are.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And could it happen to other banks now? That's what I'm thinking to myself now.
And until we know what's gone wrong directly in Ulster Bank, we haven't a clue.
There was a story in the paper last week about it was a human error that some fella, and I'm not laughing because it isn't funny, pressed delete or something. Something as stupid as that now. I mean, really and truly.
There are a lot of points to be made. And I heard somebody earlier on my way in making the point that the night that this happened was the night that that England were playing.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very big occasion, and well, as you say, it may be a rumour factory, but it's not without legs.
No, that is true. That is true. But hopefully it'll be be sorted out. I reckon it's going to be another 10 days. But I mean, they have said that customers can go to any Ulster Bank branch with their photographic ID, payslip and account details to access the funds.
Mm.
So, I mean, but if you're, you know, but it's the payment of bills going out of your account and your salary not going in the first place.
Exactly.
I don't know what I do, because I mean, I bank online. You know what I mean?
Supposing you're living in a rural area and you've got to travel miles and miles to get to that bank with your ID, you know, it's not...
Yeah, if you've been affected by this story, you can let us know by text on 57102 for 20 cents of the mobile, and we'll ring you back. Here comes mobile phone service now. In the meantime, Darren was with you last week, Dermot. He has a little update for us on... Well, maybe, actually, evening, Darren, how are you?
How you doing?
Darren, maybe just give us a little quick story of what exactly happened and what exactly... Good news or bad news have you got for us this evening?
Well, basically, this is going back about 2 years now. I got pictures taken in a certain photography place and went out to collect them. I had paid X amount of money already and the place was closed down. But good news, I emailed them in England,
Held
viewers, and they found the pictures.
Did they?
Great news.
That's
fantastic. Delighted.
We thought we lost the pictures altogether, you know what I mean? As well as the money. But
yeah, well, the pictures are worth more though, aren't they? That's
what the kids, like two years ago,
how they've changed.
Yeah. Genie, Mike. It was great to see them as well, you know what I mean?
That's brilliant. Because I'll be honest with you, we were really impressed with your attitude, which is you had paid hundreds, not hundreds, the guys had outlined here, and you still hadn't lost the head. Very impressive. I'm delighted it worked out for you. That's just great.
Maybe it was as good.
Thanks to you as well.
Well, you know what? So it was Ventura Photography.
Yeah, also, Ventura Photography, yeah.
Well, and I'm delighted. I'm delighted. Okay.
Brilliant.
And have the kids changed too much in 2 years, have they?
Oh, Jeannie, yeah.
That's great news. That's right. And thanks for getting back to us.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Cheers,
Aaron. Not at all. I love it when a plan works.
Brilliant.
Don't you?
Yes. Oh, that's great.
Hang on 2 seconds here. I'm not as efficient finger-wise as Mr. Williams is on the desk. Excuse me now. Who've we got on? We've got Michael. Hello, Michael. How are you? Doesn't seem to be there, until. Oh, Tasha Imaha. Anyway, Michael has a Meteor query. He has he bought a phone on the 16th of December in the Meteor store. On the 26th of December, he informed Meteor, the rep over the phone, that he wanted to avail of a 14-day opt-out clause.
Oh, right.
Went into the shop to confirm this on the 28th, but was then told the 14-day opt-out clause wasn't available. So, he's still receiving bills from Meteor, even though he's changed networks.
You know.
Is that the gist of it, is it, Michael?
Hello, Debbie.
Yes, you got the phone, you wanted to opt out, and they wouldn't let you.
Wouldn't let you.
Yeah, basically, I got the phone on December the 16th, and 3 days later, the phone became usable. On December the 24th, I went to Kerry, to my sister's house for Christmas, and throughout my time in Kerry, the phone display said no service or SIM locked.
Right.
On the 26th of December, I contacted a customer service representative from Meteor, and he said, I don't blame you, I'd opt out as well. And he told me that he'd put a note on my account to that effect,
right.
And he never did so. On December the 28th, I eventually got to the store where I purchased the phone, and I told them of my dilemma, and they said, well, you don't have a 14-day opt-out clause, and I asked them to ring the complaints department, and they did, and the first thing that the guy said to me was, why don't you avail of your 14-day opt-out clause? And I said, well, I tried to do that, but they're not allowing me. And eventually, I said I'd come back the next day, and I went in the next day to speak to the manager, the only one with the authority to release me, and the manager was off sick, and I went in the next day, or they rang me the next day, and again the manager was off sick, so I contacted Comeg, and I sent an email to Meteor, and the final email I got from Meteor was on the 5th of January, which said that I can confirm your complaint is currently under investigation and a member of our complaints team will contact you in the coming days to discuss the matter further.
Okay, Dermot, what do you think?
And you've heard, that was January.
Yeah.
And now we're in July. And
I know.
And they haven't contacted you.
On the February the, I'll just clarify the date now, February the 10th, I think it was, February the 8th, a member of the complaints team contacted me because I had contacted Comreg, and Comreg had contacted them, and he told me that he didn't have the authority to cancel my contract, and that I had to pay a penalty for withdrawing from the contract, as in 23 months by €45. So I was liable for 1,035.
So you're still getting bills even though you've changed your network?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry?
You're still getting
bills, despite the fact that Debbie says that you've changed your network.
Yes, I'm still getting bills from Meteor.
Okay, can I just back up quite a bit?
Yeah.
You remember you were saying that on the 26th you made the call and there was no record put on your account that day?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, did you make the call from your mobile?
I didn't know. I made the call from my sister's house in Kerry.
Okay, but that was probably on a landline then, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, and at any time have you tried, or did you even think perhaps, to get a record of that call that you made on that date at the time that you made it?
Well, I didn't feel I'd have to, Dermot, because I was dealing with Meteor, who are a reputable company. And
oh, I understand, and you're right.
One of their representatives informs me that they're going to put a record on my, or they're going to put note on my account of our conversation. I have no reason to doubt him.
Of course not. Well, can I suggest, Michael, I appreciate where this has gone, or let me put it, I appreciate where it has not gone. What I suggest you do is that you ask your sister to get that bill with that call highlighted on it, and as soon as you get it, copy it to Meteor and tell them that that is the record at which time they can check back who was on duty at that stage, and that is the individual who verbally agreed to cancel your contract. And the simplest way I can put it, Michael, that should prove that what happened.
Okay, Dermot, can I just interrupt you there a second? I've asked my sister for a copy of her phone bills.
Right.
There's no record of calls to free phone numbers.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
See?
That's unusual.
Yeah.
So you dialed a 1-8 whatever it was number.
Sorry, you're completely breaking up now.
You dialed a number and it's not coming up on this bill. That's very unusual. Would you ask... Okay, I still would question and query why that's not possible, and see if your sister's telephone company can do something more to help. It's well worth a try, because there has to, I'll put it this way, there has to be a record of every call made, because it may be free to you, but somebody else is paying for it. So it the record will be there, and if necessary, you may have to instruct Comreg to advise Meteor that you want their record of the call, because calls are supposed to be they're supposed to be recorded. So that's the best route to go, Michael. And do that. Get in touch with them and let us know how you get on, because you really need to forget about everything that's happened since indirectly and just go very, very specifically for a record of that call and the time, which, as I say, either the phone call of the phone company of your sister's, or probably more to the point, Meteor's records will show.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let us know how you get on, won't you?
Okay, will indeed. Thank you, Michael.
Hope it sorts out. Journey back.
Thank you.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It goes on and on.
The phone, though, I mean, if you get an itemised phone bill, you know, from for the sit, they would have to.
That's right. Even if there's not a charge, it will still show up somewhere.
Of course
you utilise the system. Yeah.
Got an email in from Michael. He's asked for a quote for a gas cooker to be fixed. He gave the cooker to the repair guy on the basis he would tell me how much it would cost to fix. Weeks later, after numerous attempts by me to contact him, he called me to say the cook-up was fixed and it would cost me €275 to get it back. I would have gone out and brought a brand new cooker for that amount, and if he told me it would cost that much, I would have declined getting it repaired. Where do I stand from Michael?
Well, if there's no agreement for it to be repaired, none at all. I mean, I suppose it'd be interesting to see what Michael got when he left the cooker in, what kind of receipt he got and what it says on it, which we don't have. It'd be good to see that, and then we'll have some idea where it's gone. So, Michael, you need to focus on that one for a start. But realistically, you make a very valid point. And I suppose if push really, really does come to shove, then I think if you would have considered going out and buying a new one, arguably you can still do that, because you didn't give an instruction for the repair to take place. So really it's the repair company who are going to have to kind of negotiate back with you. Now, they may not be in that frame of mind at the moment, but you didn't give an instruction. You didn't ask them to give money. So what they can do, if you want even, is say to them, well, okay, unrepair it and I'll take it away.
Unrepair it. I'm thinking, how on earth do you unrepair things? Anyway, well, Ariane is with us. She bought 2 bedside lockers 2 years ago and a chest of drawers as well. When she realised the quality of the lockers, I returned the chest of drawers. I was given a credit note, as they don't do refunds. As at the time, we didn't need anything. We kept the credit note until now. Mm-hmm. We would like to buy a sofa bed, and we're thinking to use this credit note. We called them once. We were told that the credit note validity had expired. Then we went to the shop and we were told that the manager had to look at it, but was not present at the time. They took a photocopy of it and were supposed to get back a phone call the next day. Never got the phone call. Then we tried again, but no answer. Ariane, is that the gist of what happened to you?
Exactly. We bought those furnitures in June 2010, I think.
Yeah.
But the quality of the bedside lockers were really, really bad. We were
Ariane, Ariane, sorry for interrupting you there. Do you have a radio on there in the background, if you wouldn't mind turning it
off?
Oh,
yes. Yes, okay.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm getting out, okay.
Yeah. Very sexy French accent in the meantime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel better like that?
Yeah, that's, yes, much better. Dermot's in dreamland listening to your gorgeous accent. Yeah. So you really want to know, I mean, the gist of it is really the credit note validity. What's this? You want to know what are your rights, so to speak?
Exactly. Yeah, I'd like to know that if I'm still entitled to use these vouchers. Because, you know, at the time they didn't refund us, and I thought that this coupon would have the value of money. And when you have the money in your wallet, it doesn't have time on it.
No, you're entirely right. Ariane, the document that you say, the credit note, does it say that it has an expiry date? Does it say must be used by a particular date?
No. The only date that there is on it is the warranty on the merchandise. It's about 12 months. But nothing about the credit note.
Okay, but you did get a credit note?
Yes, exactly.
And it says no, there's no expiry date on it at all?
No, the only note that there is, because they use the same document for a credit note or for purchase.
Sale, okay.
That means there is no special document for the credit note. That means they do that on their own paper, you know. And the validity of it is just 12 months on the merchandise. They don't say anything about the credit note itself.
Okay, and they have a photocopy of the credit note. That's like they know what they're dealing with at this stage.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Well, I get the impression from what you're saying that they're trying to suggest to you that the term of the guarantee is the validity of the credit note, which it's not. If a credit note comes without an expiry date, then it's valid forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to acknowledge that. Now, I must be honest with you. You seem to be having a problem with them and a difficulty with them. And I, going back, I would have felt that it nobody can say to you, we don't do refunds. Everybody mm-hmm. has to do refunds because you have legal entitlement on many occasions. So what I would suggest you do is go back to the shop.
Yes.
Tell them you are speaking to Debbie and myself.
Yes.
And that in the absence of a date, if there's no date, then you're entitled to use it to its full value.
Okay.
And if not, then you are entitled to go to the small claims court to have the value upheld.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way. So tell them, if they don't give you the value in a sale, then you will go to the small claims court to have it upheld through court.
Okay.
Are you happy with that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you to both of you.
Let us know how you
try this weekend. Yes, because I live in Trim and the shop is in Dublin. That means we'll use the weekend to go over there and to try to get my right.
Okay, well, let us know how you get on, Ariane, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's a great accent.
Isn't it? Oh, they could be saying it like reading a shopping list. To be. Dermot. Thank you. Cool. Fantastic.
The Scott Williams Show.
On Dublin's Q102.
Now, Dermot Jewell, Chief Executive Officer of the Consumer Association of Ireland, is in studio as he is every single Monday night, doing the do, so to speak. Exactly. Now, Niall is with us. He bought a phone from Vodafone, HTC Sensation. It was pay-as-you-go and cost $479.99. That was the 26th of September 2011. The phone worked grand up until it started to turn itself off for no reason, and the battery would not even last half a day, and that would be idle for most of the time during the day, that half day. So obviously, after paying that kind of money, for near €480, he would have liked to have had the phone that gave me the service and standard I would expect, a replaced phone but wants to change networks. Is that the gist of the story, Niall?
It is, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, you've been very disappointed by the phone.
Yeah, it's not living up to my expectations at all. I went for this phone because everyone was going for the iPhone, and I wanted something different because this one had apparently a faster processor. So I went for it, and then I was just totally disappointed with the actual phone itself. And after everything that happened with it, and then dealing with Vodafone themselves directly, like, just disappointed with the service they provided me as well. Hello.
Can you hear me now? You can.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. When you did bring it back to them, because it was turning off and the battery only, you know, dying, etc. What did they say they do for you?
First time I ever brought it down, the lady told me it was just a software. and then I turned out it wasn't a software. So what they gave I gave it to them. They sent it away, fixed it. It took 2 weeks.
Right.
I was grand with that. I didn't mind waiting the 2 weeks. I didn't. I brought it back after about 2 or 3 days. The exact same thing started happening.
Right.
I brought it back down then, pretty much again straight away to them. They done the exact same thing again, and that's all they kept doing. The 3 times that they had the phone was just sending it off to they kept telling me they were sending it off to HTC. But they were actually just sending up the place up in Sandyford.
Yeah.
And then it was mainly the last time that I gave it back to them, where they had the phone for literally 5 weeks, and they didn't do anything with the phone at all.
Oh, that's terrible.
They even said that to me. They said they couldn't get access to my phone because they needed some kind of PIN number, but they never needed that before.
Okay. And tell me this now, at any stage, did they offer to replace it?
No.
No.
Nothing. I had to literally, I didn't lose my head with them at all.
Yeah.
Because I work dealing with consumer people as well. So yeah. I know what it's like. So I didn't lose my head with them. And I kept it calm. And I knew if I lost my head with any of them, they wouldn't even deal with me then. But I had to keep saying to them, I want a new phone. I want a new phone. And they kept just saying to me, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. And it wasn't even, they didn't give me a reason why they couldn't do it. They just said, we don't do stuff like that. We'll send it away to get it fixed and then we'll give it back to you.
Okay, you see, interesting. You say yourself that you know from dealing with consumers, the difficulty is, and I'm not necessarily having a go at this particular team, but too often in the phone companies, a lot of people are interacting with people, Debbie, and they just don't know the consumers, right?
No,
don't.
Of course, there's too many people doing it, and they're not all.
Absolutely.
They're not actually talking to each other.
That's exactly it. So, Niall. Kind of need to go in a little bit in a different fashion with this. What you need to do is, and I hope you have a pen handy. If not, we can. There's a lot of info on the websites anyway. But what you need to do is go in and look for the manager and only the manager, and actually not necessarily speak to him. You can speak to him, all right, but you need to give him a letter which outlines your rights, and they are that under the terms of the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act. 1980, you have a telephone that is not fit for its purpose because it's not of good quality. You only have it, you got it September, you only have it 9 months at this stage. Yeah. So, and you've had it back many, many times since then. So you need to explain to him that you're speaking to myself and Debbie and that we've told you to notify him that under the terms of consumer law, which is the Sale of Goods Supply and Services Act, you have a phone that has been proven time and time again to be not of any good quality. It's you can't use it comfortably. You've paid it quite a significant amount of money for it, and that you're putting him on notice that under the terms of the Act, you want one of two things, a full refund or a replacement. Now, I know you may not want that, but it's at that point that you can say, and I want a replacement, but I will not accept a replacement of this phone because I've no faith. I've lost all faith in it. You need to use that term.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because that's important in consumer law. Because, and quite rightly, why would you have faith in a phone that fails so miserably after such a short period of time? So are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's perfect, that is.
And let's see where it goes with that and come back and tell us what happens. You may need to go on. You may need to go on further and go into the second round, which is threaten the small claims. But,
ding, ding!
Yeah.
I'm threatening that already, I did.
Did you? Right,
yeah,
okay.
I did.
Well, you obviously know what you're talking about, but let us know how you get on anyway, Niall. Give us a call back.
I will, guys. Cheers.
Good
Thanks
stuff.
For getting
Bye.
In touch.
What was the website that I should go on, actually?
Oh, well, what I meant is that if you come to our website, which is thecai.ie, thecai.ie, the terms are there. And also, unless I'm very much mistaken, because Mr. Williams always says that I think the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act is up somewhere on the Q website.
It is, yeah.
So there you are now.
So
I'll have a look for it, guys. Cheers. Thanks so much for your time.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Got an email in from Bella. She says, I had a boiler service from Electricity, which reported I needed an expansion vessel changed, which prevents the boiler even from damage when the pressure is too high and would cost €200. I got an independent boiler stroke plumber to come and have a look. He released the pressure on the boiler, which was too high, and explained the drips were the expansion vessel working correctly. He didn't even charge me. I obviously wasn't ripped off, but would like people to know. That's Bella and Vingus.
Good on you, Bella. There's
exactly. Thanks for getting in touch. 8506597. If you've had any problems at all, just give us a call and we'll give you a buzz back. This is an Ulster Bank one, but it's nothing to do with the current crisis. Hi, Dermot. I went to an Ulster Bank ATM on the 18th of May. I tried to withdraw €60, but the money only stayed out for a second and then went back in. And the ATM then went out of order. I contacted my bank, which is Bank of Ireland, and was told the money would be back in my account on the following Monday. 6 weeks later, I'm still waiting. Bank of Ireland have sent off two mails in which Ulster Bank are denying my request. They say nothing was wrong with the ATM. I have two witnesses who were beside me at the ATM when this happened. When I rang Ulster Bank, they told me to ring Bank of Ireland and vice versa. So she's going back, she's going back and forth. I don't know what I can do. Your help would be very much appreciated. What's the story? What do you think?
Okay, there are a number of things that can help you, and I'm not sure where they've been tried out so far. Most of these machines have a camera somewhere that's watching you. There's it can be identified, and it should have and could have picked that up. They're probably trying to get a reaction from Ulster Bank at the minute in this, although they already have reacted quite quickly, is not positive. But what I suggest you do is, again, go back this time and have a word with the Irish Bankers Federation. That's right. IBF.ie, Irish Bankers Federation. Tell them what happened. Because I can tell you, this happened to my son. And they, in fairness to the Bankers Federation, they're kind of an umbrella for all of the banks. They will go to the member and say, look, this person is very, very... They're coming across as they're not lying, they're honest.
Yeah, yeah.
They're out €60, they're young and they need their money. Will you please go back and check again, or if for no other reason but goodwill, will you give them their money?
Yeah.
And so go to the Irish Bankers Federation and tell them you've been speaking to ourselves and that we ask them would they get involved on your behalf, on ours too, and see what can be done and come back and give us a text, see how it goes.
Dermot Jewell joins us tonight, as usual, on a Monday evening with consumer advice that is invaluable. And Rachel joins us as well. Rachel, you wanted to have a chat with Dermot about something?
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you, Dermot?
Good, thanks.
Good. It's a long story, but I'll try and make it as short as I can.
Okay.
Basically, the end of last year, the job I was in, I was emergency taxed. And because it had gone past cut-off for the last payday, they said I'd have to do a tax return in January.
Okay.
So I was doing a tax return for 2008, 9, 10 and 11. And I had a lot of medical expenses as well. So I said, right, I'll go to a tax agent, you know, to help me with it because there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
So I rang up a particular place and I was told on the phone that, yeah, they'd do it, no problem, that they charged 11% commission plus VAT. So that was grand. I talked to another guy in my office who had used them before, and he said, no, they only charged me 9%. So I rang them back and got talked to the same guy again, and he said, no, it's 11% plus VAT. So I said, that's fine. So they sent me out the documents. I signed them, filled them in, emailed them back to them. So that was back in May. So
right.
Then I was waiting a good while. I got back in touch with them and told me it'd be another 2 or 3 weeks. So eventually I got a letter to the door from the tax man to say it was due a refund of so much, and that was grand. So I checked my emails and they had sent me a breakdown. They'd send me, it was like a little box in 2007 and 8, there was a line going through it. So then they had a figure in 2009 and 10 and the line going through 2011. So I presumed, right, I'm due money back in 2009 and 10.
Right.
And then the commission rate they had quoted on it was a lot more than 11% plus VAT.
Okay.
So I got onto the tax office and the tax office said, well, the refund has already gone to Red Oak, so to get in touch with them. So they then told me, the certain tax place then told me that it was 14% plus VAT plus €18 of a service charge. And I said to them, well, that wasn't what I agreed.
Yeah.
And they said, well, look at what you signed. So in fairness to them, I signed a contract that did say it was more than what it was, than what we had agreed.
Okay.
So contract signed, so that's my own fault, I signed it, there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
So I then said, right, 2011, I'll ring the tax office myself and I'll do that myself.
Yeah.
So I rang the tax office and the tax office said, the girl tallied up the figures and said, yeah, you're due back money, I'll issue it out to you.
Right.
So then no sign of coming to my bank account, so I rang them again and it had actually been sent to the tax agency.
Okay.
Their details were still on my account. So the tax agency said that we did a refund for 2011, we were just waiting for it to come true. And I said, well, in the email I got from you, I said, it said on it that I was due money in 2009 and 10 and said nothing for 2011.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, but it didn't say there wasn't anything due for 2011.
Okay.
And I said, I know that, but by the, insinuated by the chart.
Right,
you know,
right,
that
gotcha.
I wasn't due anything.
What were the terms of that? Did that state for 2008, 9, 10 and 11? Was it 11?
Yeah, it was for the 4 years.
That's kind of binding, so.
Yeah, that's what I taught myself. Yeah.